I'm Emmanuel Berry. This is Current State, and I'm in for Mark Bajor again. The Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra closes its 2013-14 season Saturday night at 8 at the Michigan Theater with an all Brahms program. 90.5 Classical will broadcast the live concert. WKR's Peter Worf spoke with music director Aria Lipsky on Wednesday. The two looked ahead to the upcoming season at the Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra and talked about Saturday's concert. Lipsky explained that one of Brahms' works, originally for piano, is arranged by University of Michigan composition professor Bright Sheng.
I'm a little suspicious when somebody orchestrates or changes a wonderful piece of music. So when I heard it, I said, wow, not only it's a wonderful arrangement, but it enhances and enriches what Brahms had in mind. And then you think, I think if Brahms heard it, he said, I wish I did that. I think Bright did a wonderful job. It captured the essence of the piece, the beauty of the melody and the a forte is not just playing louder on the piano, but the orchestration just kind of mushroom and embellishes, and it's just a beautiful piece. So I'm so happy we could do that.
Have you performed it before with the Ann Arbor Symphony or with other orchestras?
No, this is my first time. I heard it once on the radio, and I said, this is just a beautiful piece. So. And they did a wonderful job, so I'm very pleased.
I'm speaking with Aria Lipsky, the music director of the Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra. We're at intermission here at the Michigan Theater in this All Brahms program coming to you live on WKAR. Let's look forward to the second half, and I almost said the main course of this concert, but there have been a couple of main courses so far. But on the second half, we'll be hearing one single work, the First Symphony by Brahms. Has any other piece sort of been looked at more as a struggle or sort of a wrestling with moving from beginning to end as Brahms' First Symphony in terms of composing the piece?
Yeah, Brahms wrote this symphony for over 20 years. He had sketches, but was reluctant to come out with this word symphony after it was associated with Beethoven and his ninth famous symphony. And he wanted it, in a way, to be perfect. So he experimented with the symphonic genre by writing some serenades and, of course, wonderful chamber music and songs and piano music. But it took him quite a long time, until he was 43, to come up with the First Symphony. And what a beginning that was. In the very opening, you can hear these two opposite lines going in agonizing way against each other, and underneath you have this heartbeat played by the timpani and the double basses and the contrabassoon, relentless. It is so powerful, and it just leaves you in awe. And then as you go through the whole symphony, then you arrive in the finale, and this, what a theme, the main theme of the last movement, which is obviously an homage to Beethoven and to the Ode to Joy, and just before that the discussion between the horns, this alpine horn discussion, which actually was written a couple of years before as a birthday song to Clara Schumann. Yeah, ti-ti-rom-pom. Thank you. Yeah, so, you know, it really encompasses what Brahms is all about, this symphony. You know, Brahms was criticized for perhaps not being like Beethoven or Wagner, because, you know, as we know, Beethoven and Wagner really created a new form of music. They experimented with the future. And Brahms went to the past.
Yeah, he was very traditional.
Yes. He was a master of the Baroque, of even Renaissance music, and the classical music, and brought them to the Romantic era. Mm-hmm. And in that way, he was very different. So it took people some time to really appreciate it. But, oh God, and, you know, all four symphonies that he created are some of the most heroic and beautiful symphonies of the late 19th century.
The first symphony, in many ways, is a traditional piece of music, as you've said, and has many, many others before, following in the steps of Beethoven. But in what other ways is the first symphony uniquely Brahms?
Well, his way, for instance, of arranging the counterpoint is so unique. He took Beethoven's genius of creating a movement out of three or four notes and took it to the nth degree. And then you can hear it in the first movement, like taking these three notes and creating a whole movement out of it. And it's so ingenious. His imagination is unbelievable.
He does introduce some surprises in the end of the slow movement. All of a sudden, it's almost like the slow movement of a violin concerto, and it's absolutely delightful.
Yes, the inner two movements of the symphonies are a complete departure of this huge, massive movements in the first and the last, which are also orchestrated in a very lush way. They're kind of a, you know, the intermezzo, almost chamber music within the symphony. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, the gorgeous violin solo in the end of the first movement, the second movement, the slow movement, is absolutely haunting. And I'm really looking forward to our concertmaster, Aaron Borofsky. The way he played it in the rehearsal is just fantastic. So, looking forward to hear it joining the audience.
I'm also looking forward to the 2014-15 season, which you've just announced. And as you've done in past seasons, you have some very wonderful thematic programming happening, from an all Beethoven opening concert with one of the great pianists of our time, André Watts, Leonore Overture No. 3, Beethoven's 5th, and the Piano Concerto No. 5, the Emperor Concerto. Who wouldn't be thrilled with hearing or presenting a program like that?
Just as I look in the season, I think that No. 5 is a big thematic idea here, as we do the Symphony No. 5 by Beethoven, the Emperor Concerto No. 5, and we finish the season with Mahler 5.
Thank you.
wonderful program here in October with Chichester Psalms by Bernstein, and we have a collaboration with the Boy Choir of Ann Arbor, the Vocal Arts Ensemble, and Steve Lorenz Choir. Michael Doherty, who is, again, a world-known composer who lives right here in Michigan, in Ann Arbor, and teaches here at the university, will play his Route 66 and Barber Violin Concerto and Gershwin American in Paris. In November, we bring back another former Ann Arborite, Anton Nell, who used to be on the faculty here, a wonderful pianist, and he'll join us for the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto. In March, we again invite the choirs of Yorn and Pioneer and Skyline to join us for the Polovtsian Dances. The rendition with chorus, which is always so much fun. Shostakovich number 10 and Tchaikovsky Romeo and Juliet.
I'm so excited to hear this all-Russian program coming up in March of 2015, because I have to tell you that Shostakovich 10th Symphony, as with many classical music listeners, is one of my absolute favorite symphonies of all time. You know, I think representing some of the greatest musical and personal struggle and triumph. I can't wait to hear this piece.
Yes, and it's quite a tour de force for the orchestra.
Yeah, I would say so.
Going to be my first time conducting this symphony, so I'm really looking forward to that. And of course, in January we always celebrate Mozart in his birthday bash concert. We are going to feature our principal oboist, Tim Mischling, fantastic oboe player. He's going to play the oboe concerto, and we're bringing a very fine coloratura soprano to sing some of Mozart works for that that specific voice. So she'll be singing arias from the Abduction, from the Seraglio, from the Great Mass. And then we'll finish, of course, with one of Mozart's favorite symphonies, my favorite symphonies, Symphony No. 40 in G minor. Looking forward to a great celebration of music next season.
That's a quick look at the 2014-15 season of the Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra. Aria Lipsky, music director of the Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra. Aria, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
This Saturday night at 8, WKAR will broadcast the Ann Arbor Symphony season finale live on 90.5 Classical with an encore broadcast Saturday the 19th at noon. That's our show for today. Coming up next week on Current State, we'll break down East Lansing City budget proposal. Also, we'll be back with live music next Friday. The DeCamp Sisters will pay a visit to Studio S. That and more next week on Current State. The executive producer of Current State is Peter Worf. Joe Lindstroth is the producer. Thanks to Melissa Benmark, Scott Pohl, and Kevin Lavery, also Aaron Young for engineering, and Libby Lessenhop for production assistance. I'm Emmanuel Berry, in for Mark Bayshore. You've been listening to Current State on WKAR.